Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1097. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, it is a wild time here in the DeFrango household that we're not going to get into. Wrestling always a constant here. And though we did have some NXT over the weekend, we are going to stick to the main product here as per usual. And I have the big question that Chris left me with was so explain to me why Raw in particular has been more infuriating than SmackDown itself, as of late.
I blame the Bloodline. And by that, I mean I blame the Bloodline storyline. Like how intricate it was, how heavy on the emotion and people having to, act and the kind of melodrama of it all. And yes, it was for the most part incredibly obviously incredibly successful and carried WWE for at least a good 2 years. It gave WWE this false sense that you can duplicate that in other forms. That people want to see wrestlers acting and showing emotion, crying, and just generally having stories and dialogue that are just, take things to a to escalate, takes to an elevated level of complicated, or as I said, emotion or emoting. And I've given some of it, more of a chance than other things, and we'll kind of get into them and dissect them. But yeah, it's just I'm just tired of seeing people just these long, just crying and all being all in their feelings, and I could probably nail down three different storylines that I could and two of them I gave them some chance here. I but and I guess since we're on Raw, and we can I guess then talk about the opening segment of Raw, because then that's the first item on my hit list here.
The Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Asuka, Kairi stuff, it's just been too weird at this point.
It is weird. It's
'Cause even like from a perspective of the least important character is Kairi Sane. But even her, she's to me not consistent with what's happening, like
Yeah, you can
even
say that.
within her own little logic world, like there's nothing really holding her to Asuka, and she keeps on cringing at everything Asuka does, and it's just like, shouldn't it be dawning on her too that that Asuka's gone off the deep end and that we need to abandon ship here?
Yeah, I mean,
Like,
what does Asuka have her work visa? Does she have her passport? Is she giving those things from her? Like, why is she still going along with all of this? And it's just,
And that is the
that's
other
part of
thing.
that's the
Like
only part, yes.
normally, like sometimes it gets old where you have the rich guy, you kind of win a I get the slave contract. I don't feel like they've done those in a while, but
No, and it doesn't seem like that's the story here at all. But yeah, it's just it
yeah,
just
that's it. There's
it
nothing tying Kyrie to her other than
right.
friendship, and it's
Yeah,
just
there's
like
yeah. I thought last week, and I mentioned the show with Jeremy, that it Kyrie should have been completely 100% on the side of on the side of Asuka at that point.
oh, yes.
They should have been completely in lockstep here. That helps this whole thing. But then you've got Kai. Then we can start with Io. She's still crying, and she's still and she. It's putting her in a situation that she should not be in. She making her act, making her, and that part of the issue with her and Kyrie's parts and all of this. English is their second language to begin with. Don't put them in this situation. Period. It's just it's not they're wrestlers. They can promo fine enough. I'm gonna beat you, all that kind of stuff, but to make them cry and actually deliver long form dialogue, it's not doing them any favors at all.
Yeah, that part's been kind of awkward. And it's just for me with EO, it's one of those items where it's at this point it's been too long, or at least she should be leaning more to breaking away than being genuinely concerned. Wanting to have the family back together.
Which we never called them that. We never established that there was a family bond here. That they loved each other. Maybe they were friends, and maybe love you it's the same way. It just wasn't ringing. It was ringing hollow. In addition to all the other issues with it, and then you've got Rhea Ripley being this. Softer, gentler Rhea Ripley is not working. This, oh, we're such good friends, Asuka. This is not what anyone wants to see from it. The only person here who gets to, be themselves in this is Asuka. Asuka is a heel. That's fine. You got Kairi acting like a scared child. You've got Io acting like a broken-hearted lover, and you've got Rhea Ripley acting like she's all puppies and rainbows and kitties now or whatever. It's just like, no, you're the Eradicator. Rhea might have be the worst, character assassination in this, because it's just this is not what people. Even when Dom broke her heart, she and she, but she went after Dom and Liv in anger.
Oh,
Like
right.
she wasn't all softy. Oh, Io, we're such good friends, and. Oh, I just know, like, next week they're gonna have Rhea deliver a line like, "The last time I competed in Australia, I was defending my championship. This time, I'm defending something more important, my friend, and I'm gonna want to vomit." I just see a line like that coming.
Yeah, I vomited already a little bit in my own mouth. Just knowing that the potential is very much there.
Yeah, I mean that's just how over emotional they've made this. It's just like it's just and it's not really it's not for any kind of title. It's not it's honestly I guess I like everyone involved, but it's not that important.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of the well, yeah, one of the bigger problems, and we've talked about it a little bit, but not, but like, just all of the relationships were not defined well enough to be emotionally invested in it. Is even though the characters are all popular, the connections between all the characters, I don't want to say are tenuous because, I mean, Damage Control was together. But then the other problem with that situation was that Asuka was gone for how many months on end? And that was when Io Sky really came into her own. And, like even Asuka just feels like she's glomming onto the thing, even though she's been around and
I mean, Asuka's.
kind of been
I
part
guess.
of the situation,
Yeah,
but.
yeah, yeah. I think Asuka have being jealous of Io's success while she was gone. It's not been verbalized well, but I think that it plays a part in this. That how much Io has grown. Essentially, grown, moved on from them, grown, and grown away from them. In that respect, I do understand it, but it has dragged out for months, and it hasn't
Oh,
been.
and yeah, that is probably the biggest problem at this point. Like, it just feels like all of the characters need to be moving to the next stage of whatever this is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hope it finally, because it's, and it was kind of wild. Like this week, it still wasn't it. Like I hope that we're getting there next week or the week, is the match not until Crown Jewel now?
Well, Crown Jewel is a week from Saturday.
Oh,
So yes, it is coming to a head next week, and I am, you gotta imagine, Australia, Rhea Ripley in the match. She's not losing.
She's definitely not taking the pin. I can guarantee that.
No. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I guess her and Io just win, and they move on from this, which I'm fine with, because as I've made my point very clear, I hate it.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, it's not like Kyrie can really be in the singles picture, honestly.
No, I mean, Asuka always can, but you can get Asuka and Kai. Well, I guess if they lose, if you win, they could get them back in the tag title. And I guess even if they lose, they could still find their way back into the tag title mix if they want. They have struggled for months to keep Rhea Ripley in the mix. And keep her and keep without being champion, and it's been a struggle.
Yeah, Rhea Ripley has been on the struggle bus within the last couple of months here. It's been really rough because, and I mean, and we talk about it in other aspects, but this is another one that definitely takes away from her ability to have a good feud. Becky Lynch having the Intercontinental Championship because she has to have big names wrestle her too, and those
Or
are
Maxine
potential
Dupri.
or Maxine
We'll get to that.
Dupri.
Again. Yeah, you could definitely get to you could, yeah. And with Stephanie Vaquer now is Women's World Champion. Not that they've been, especially these days, shying away from face versus face matches, but it feels like Rhea's even further away from the title now.
Yeah, she really does not seem to be in the picture at all. Like, I mean, she keeps on talking about it, but yeah, it almost seems absurd.
Yeah, and it's just, it's just so hard to give her an opponent people believe in. It's and she's already beaten most of the bigger women in the company more than once. So it's also like, what do you like how do you keep her away? What do you keep her occupied with? This doesn't feel like something that can drag out for too much longer. I mean, I guess if since the next PLE is Survivor Series, which is War Games. You can kind of, combine the women's feuds into, one thing and do something with that.
Yeah, you can milk a little more time out of her being aimless, but yeah, they need to come up with something for her sooner rather than later.
They definitely do. Because again, Stephanie Vaquer is women's champion. That feels like something you don't just, stumble into. You do it, you build to it. I don't think they want to take the title away from Stephanie Vaquer very, too soon here either.
Well, and I mean, I feel like the last time you and I talked, we were mentioning that Stephanie probably wasn't going to win because Rhea's going to win it in Australia, but that is
I, yeah,
clearly
that's,
not going to be the case because
no,
that's a whole other can of worms.
I did not think they were, because it being as Crown Jewel is going to be in Australia, that they were going to remember or make a point of doing this Crown Jewel Championship stuff. But they are, and Rhea is not, again, not in the title picture, so that's,
Yeah, she is not a champion. So she is not
this
involved.
said that's what we were talking about. Just finding her things to do until she's champion again, or they move into SmackDown is proving to be a problem. And then Stephanie Vaquer is, didn't really do anything much on Raw except being confronted by Tiffany Stratton, who apparently traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles just to have a conversation that could have been a text.
Yeah, I mean, Stephanie Vaquer really put in some mileage to go to SmackDown too, just to walk around and interact with other people for a short time period.
At least she went out the curtain
That
and was seen by
is
people.
true. Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh man. Yeah, Tiffany did not have any in ring time there. Oh, poor Tiffy time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, really poor Tiffy time after that finish after that finish on SmackDown.
oh my gosh.
Oh, this match just didn't even start out as a good idea or a good match, but oh boy, did it end even worse. It's just, and nothing's Jade Cargill's fault. She got cut. They essentially pulled her from the rest of the match. I do think that she w seemed like she was supposed to interrupt the three count, the first attempt at a three count that Nia didn't put her shoulder up on. I think that was the issue.
Okay, I was trying to think of what happened because I've never, like, it's been a long time since I've seen a referee stop the count just that intentionally and go two. It's just like, hey, good thing she knew what the hell was supposed to be going on,
Well,
or else that
at
would have,
that
I mean, it
point,
looked bad anyway.
it was bad. But hey, what? At that point, though, Tiffany's winning anyway. Just count it.
Yeah, the result is the same.
Because all Tiffany did was just move Nia a few inches and then and hit her moonsault and pin her.
Yeah, that was, oof. Yeah, not a smooth ending to, I don't know. The match was fine
Yeah, it
up
kind of
to that
wasn't.
point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
But at least,
that end was really bad.
but Tiffany will have a much better worker and a much better time in the ring, I assume, with Stephanie Vaquer.
Yeah.
Stephanie Vaquer also probably grateful that of the three, Tiffany is her opponent.
That That's still like that Jade Cargill. It's an interesting spot she finds herself in here at this juncture. I don't know if they're waiting on something in particular to really push her, or is this going to end up being like her in AEW, where she just kind of stalls out at a level and
Yeah,
it never ends up being world champion? Like,
because her flaws as a worker, and she, I think that there's been improvement, but her flaws as a worker will always be used against her. There will always someone poking holes in why they should push her.
oh.
She can't she can't hold her own in long matches or what have you. Yeah, but they have. They've marketed her heavily. Like
Oh, yeah.
she's on the upcoming poster. She's on the WrestleMania poster. In an
She has
interesting note,
some
she's kind of in.
commercials too, right?
Yeah, she's got commercials. She really has basically taken over Bianca Belair's spot. And Bianca, that's another. I don't think I've ever heard of someone being out this long with a couple of broken fingers. I mean, her continued absence is. It is leading to some questions here because it's just like it feels like they should have healed by now.
It feels really, really weird, whatever has gone on there. Because she popped back up and it's just like, oh, I'm gonna get cleared soon, and then she's been off TV several months since then.
Yeah, that was probably a couple months before SummerSlam or whatever. It's just like I've just I again, I'm not any kind of a high level athlete, but it just doesn't feel, it just feels like broken fingers or something you can come back. Most athletes seem to come back from pretty quickly.
Anything bro, it's always better to break a bone than to tear a ligament.
Okay,
Because bones,
makes sense to me.
bones heal at just a certain rate. Like, you just gotta reset it and let nature do its thing. And then you've obviously got to build your strength back up and whatnot. But, you've got to make sure that the, when muscles hurt, to rehab it correctly. There's just a little more stress on it. So, yeah, it's really, and especially for a hand, like, I know that you need it for wrestling. You would think that she could still wrap or wrestle with them taped if there's still something going on there.
Yeah.
It's been really it, ever since that reappearance of like, oh yeah, I'll be here soon, and her again being gone for a couple of months at least.
Yeah.
It's kind of gotten a little weird.
And she was at that Saudi press conference in Vegas and just looked fine. Definitely isn't pregnant if that's your conspiracy theory. Or didn't look it?
And I mean, honestly, with how forthright everyone has been, I'm a little bit surprised that you wouldn't come out with the news at this point.
Yeah.
But
But yeah,
if that were the case.
it doesn't seem like it's that. Yeah, it's just a very weird thing. And yeah, meanwhile, you can tell, like, Jade Cargill is at that spot on the WrestleMania poster that they would put Bianca Belair in.
Oh.
She it feels like she's taking her spot. But at the same
Yeah,
time, there are still the issues with Jade Cargill, her work, and what have you, that keep them from going all the way with her.
and that's the thing that's why, it would be interesting to see if that's ever resolved. I don't know how long her contract is, so who knows what ends up happening. But like I said, I just feel like that one's it's been interesting. Like, and again, like, I know that we've talked about it a lot with triple threat matches. Like, I knew that she the chances of the champion losing a triple threat match are fairly slim within the WWE. Although I do feel like a couple happened recently that are slipping my mind at the current moment, but more times than not, you're pretty safe. Because it's just like, hey, we want to keep two feuds going, so this is what we're gonna do. I guess we've kind of talked a lot about the ladies. I'm trying to figure out what other big were there any other big women? Oh, you
There is
did.
one. Yeah.
You did reference it, and it was one that I'm just like, huh. I completely missed the Becky Lynch and Maxine Dupri
Oh yeah. Oh well,
interaction.
yeah. Well, that's one of two other, I guess, women's segments that took place on across WTV this week that I, unless I'm missing something else from SmackDown, is yeah. I mean, I guess we're playing off that Becky Lynch is angry about losing at WrestlePalooza and just needed someone to pick on. But did they forget they've done this already?
Yeah, that was why I was just like, huh, why are we going back to this?
Yeah, and there's just you just you just you can't in any way justify it. Well, I guess on some type of a distraction finish or something, maybe you could justify having Maxine Dupri get a non-title win. But in all likelihood, she's just gonna destroy her. I
More than
still
likely.
I imagine I still I imagine they'll eventually go with Becky and AJ one on one, but AJ and Punk haven't been on the last 2 weeks of TV, so that ha you know we haven't really been able to move much forward with that.
I mean, we are getting them next week, so they did not mention whether AJ Lee is showing up, but well, man, that's kind of wild that even Becky Lynch is in something of a wild spot right now.
It is wild. And speaking of wild, the continued adventures of Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. Never know what Bayley we're gonna get. Yeah, this is another one that's kind of what talking about. It's just like we're maybe overcomplicating things a little bit. Now Bayley is doing a better job with the material she's being given than some other people than. Obviously, the women
Oh.
in the other storyline, so that's better, but again, I still a split personality bipolar storyline. Not sure exactly where it all heads though either.
Yeah, that's the interesting part to me. I'm like, what is the finish to this whole thing? Do her and Lyra become tag team partners? Do they win the tag team gold? Like, is that what it is? Does Bayley settle into one personality at that point? Everyone seems to be enjoying the multiple personalities, but it's just so hard to interact with that
Yeah,
on
it
a,
is.
like on a regular basis. Like,
And again, these people aren't trained actors. They're athletes in a pseudo athletic entertainment universe. But they're not.
sports, say, just say sports entertainment.
They're sports entertainers, yes. They're sports entertainers, and again, it's Bailey's been doing good with the material, but then again, you're making Lyra have to emote and dialogue in a way that's maybe not natural for her. So it's just like it again, it leads to some awkward moments.
Like I don't know. Like, you sympathize with Lyra. Like, everyone's seen
Yeah,
everything.
that's the point. You definitely should pick. So spend lives with Lyra here. Yes.
Except for, was who the hell was on com? Was it Wade Barrett still trying to blame Lyra? It's just like, huh?
Maybe but it sounds like him.
I was like, I don't know how this logic works, sir. But anywho, yeah, it's yeah, but Lyra's, I think, the one in the weirdest spot. Like, she's got to be the one to react to all this wackiness, and it is not easy to do that.
No, it really isn't. Then again, but again, Lyra at least has some experience dealing with the Tatum Paxley character in NXT.
It is kind of funny that she is basically doing the Tatum Paxley storyline all over again, but with a different participant. I've been thinking that. I think it really started to dawn on me last week, and I'm like, I think it's because her and Tatum had that backstage segment in NXT, and I'm like, hold on, isn't the Bayley thing kind of similar? At least with Bayley, you know that she's trying to do previous characters. I think that's the only thing that saves this from being a direct ripoff.
Bailey's jumping between the hugger and the role model, and that's been established. And again, she's doing as good as she could be expected, with the material, and Lyra is too. This one certainly doesn't bother me more than the whole thing with Rhea and Io, etc. I've certainly nowhere near it, but again, it's where can you go with it?
Oh yeah, that's again, that's the $1 million question here. So I think that kind of knocks the ladies off the list here.
Yes.
That leads us back to the guys. And we did start with and I mean it's been the running thread here. Cody Rhodes really kind of that and the whole vision stuff is the through line for this week, I would say.
It is. It takes place on both shows, and again, I haven't dating back to last year. I haven't. I don't. There's things I don't love about the Crown Jewel Championship thing, especially the part where you're putting a really big match on a B show. They did it last year with Cody and Gunther, and now it's Cody and Seth. But at least with Cody and Seth, it's not the absolute first time ever they've ever been in the ring with each other, of course, obviously. So it that helps. And of course, with all this melodrama going on in other storylines, it is refreshing to have a storyline that's just about who's the best, who's going to win.
That and it just feels like more regularly aggrieved parties
Exactly, yes.
in this situation. There's the I feel like I'm right, I feel like I'm right, and you know we're coming to blows over it. So yeah, it's definitely a more straightforward feud, even if there is at least a little bit of emoting to be had here and there.
And they definitely they have the history to call upon. So again, it works. It works in that way. Yeah, enemies to friends and back again. So. Yeah, this is all. This is more traditional pro wrestling, story. So yeah, I mean, there's nothing. There's not a lot to point out about their interactions with each other across SmackDown and Raw. Like there wasn't like a sick burn that sticks out in my mind or anything.
Ooh, yeah, no, there was not a real ooh moment for anyone.
Right. I thought that meant you had one. I'm like, no, I missed something. No. You're right.
No,
You're right. Yes.
just doing what the crowd would have done had we gotten that moment. And I
Yeah.
don't really remember that.
Right. I guess that's the part where maybe this isn't working as well, I guess, then. Is it just none of their segments with each other are sticking out. Even the one where it was Heyman in the ring. It's just nothing. Nothing he said either really stood out. It doesn't, yeah. It, I in this one, I like the concept of it more than maybe at other times they've done something like this because they do have their history with each other and there is, these two do actually have the claim of each being the best, so that
Oh.
that helps too. But yeah, it's just, yeah. As I said, as we're saying, their interactions just don't. Just haven't had anything memorable though either.
No. When you only have a couple of weeks to hype this up, it always feels a little hollow. You know,
Yes, and
just
all this for a show beginning at 8 a.m. Eastern time.
Well, good for Australia getting to watch it on time.
Yeah.
Or watch it the
I
next
mean,
day.
it's better than. Wasn't the last time they went to Australia? Didn't it start like 5 a.m. Eastern time? So
I
it was on
believe
earlier in the day in
so.
Australia. This is little. This would make it more, prime time in Australia.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what Perth is time zone wise.
Let me check.
Ahead of Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, 8 o'clock, a lot more reasonable. Am I gonna watch it at 8 a.m. still? Probably not. I mean, do I have another
It's
week to worry about it? Yes, I do.
tw it it's 12 hours.
Oh, okay.
So yes, the show will begin at 8 p.m. time there.
Okay.
Pretty
Yeah.
standard.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Not too bad at all. Especially with the way the WWE pay-per-views have been running. You know, like, this is not a TK led production where we're going to be there until post midnight. So, yeah. And I mean, I would assume they have really drilled in the whole. Seth Rollins is 0-3. I feel like he's gonna get some type of help from the Vision
Oh yeah.
to secure this victory here, so that he has
Yeah, I could see
some
it,
bragging
and I
rights
also
here.
can see kind of maybe in the cluster of it all, the pieces coming together for War Games as well.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, you would have to think that Division is somehow going to be involved in War Games.
Yes. And it's just the question is like, are we gonna get like Roman and Cody and Punk like all on the same team here, or is Cody gonna move on? Maybe Cody might move on to his own match at Survivor Series. Who knows? But it does seem more like he's gonna continue to be involved in the Vision mess.
Oh.
And of course, the Vision's gonna have to pick up, a couple of associates along the way as well.
I'm sure that they can figure something out in that
Yeah.
department. So, I'm not quite sure who, but I'm sure that they can figure it out. So yeah, that'll end up happening. The last time you and I recorded, we were in the middle of, hey, we think they're gonna break up the Street Profits. Hey, they just won a match this week.
Well, they did win up. They won on another championship match against the Wyatt Six. This
Yeah, I
one,
don't.
this one, they're gonna do it. But yeah, I can see after a loss here, I can see it happening then.
Okay. You still think that it'll end up happening here. Okay.
I mean,
Yeah, they got
it needs
along
to, of
fine.
course.
It was weird. I mean, they've had the tension with Carmelo Hayes and The Miz. Yeah, that's one where I see what they're getting out of the duo, so I'm not quite sure why they aren't sticking with it longer to get Carmelo more main roster exposure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess beating The Miz could be his route to moving up the card here.
Yeah. I don't
Maybe.
like it as a match against each other. It's just,
I
they're
don't
both heels. Like, it's just, Carmelo's definitely not a natural face to me. And
know. No.
then
Not
all
with
of
that
Miz's,
gimmick. Unless you
right,
change that
no,
gimmick.
right, and then all of Miz's face runs, maybe with the exception of his teaming with R-Truth, have been terrible.
What? There's a reason he's been a heel 90% of the time he's been in the WWE. Why do you say these things? Oh man, yeah. So that's definitely an interesting situation going on there. Also, kind of a weird one. I feel like we had been wondering where one Jacob Fatu had been. He comes back to confront one Drew McIntyre, who quite possibly is going to be out for a while filming.
I think it said early 2026 for that.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure if the I don't not know if I necessarily think that the walking brute is a legitimate injury. So it seems like, yeah, this is gonna be the feud here. And I like this. I like it. It's good. They can have good matches with each other. So I give it to me.
Gimme. Yeah, that's a good place to leave that. That is going to be quite the enjoyable match. It was interesting to see the young one, Mr. Javon Evans, end up challenging Sami Zayn on SmackDown.
Yeah, this was, again, this is a fine thing to do. He put up a good fight. Of course, he wasn't gonna win. He gets a little moment on SmackDown. Yeah, it was fine.
Yep, served its purpose. So yeah, I think that was it for the men on SmackDown. What else did we have? Oh man, Dominic Mysterio doing his best to imitate his true father, Eddie Guerrero. Trying to cheat, lie, and steal his way through a championship match. And doing quite the job of finally pulling out the old trick knee to low blow Rusev behind the referee's back to get this pin.
Yes, he did do that, and he did, low blow notwithstanding, he did, he beat Rusev. He beat him by himself.
Yes, he did. Yes,
So
he
yeah, I don't
did.
know where else this goes now. It was a weird match anyway, since both are, technically heels, even though the crowd wants to cheer Dom. And I guess yes, he did channel the Eddie Guerrero that did eventually get cheers. So
Yeah,
we'll see how
I don't know what else they expect when they hear Eddie Guerrero chants on the regular. When you start using that material, everyone cheers.
it and that's wild.
Yeah,
We're not far off from 20 years, and he is still like the dead wrestler who gets referenced and memorialized and honored the most. Kind of crazy, actually.
it's still I feel like that's one of those things that I'm not quite sure who brought that up recently, but yeah, it is wild how much Eddie Guerrero is celebrated in respect to, like, even it's not like people do the people's elbow or something all the time, like people don't steal The Rock's material. I mean, unless you want to say LA Knight steals his material all the time, which is fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
But, there isn't, no one tries to do his old, no one, yeah, like, I don't feel like there's any wrestler that they use his old spots, especially that fake, oh no, he's the one that hit me with the chair gimmick. Like, that one has been used so frequently over the years since his untimely death. Like, it is pretty wild how much
How
of a
many people do the
tribute there
shimmy?
is
How many
for him.
people do the three amigo suplexes? How many people do a frog splash? It's
And they even get cheers in
crazy.
AEW, when this stuff happens. It's not even like people in AEW really hate that Eddie Guerrero. It's just like, nope, he's their man too. It's like, oh, okay. Like, Eddie Guerrero universally loved. He heals all divides between yeah, between wrestling fans. though. That happened. I'm trying to think. Oh yeah. Oh geez. Speaking of LA Knight, boy, he really did Kofi Kingston in fine.
Yeah, Kofi got rocked a bit on a knee, yeah. And but it seems like he'll be all right.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, again, still with LA Knight asking for a title match with Seth Rollins. I thought we were past that part at least. Like, dude, you're not getting that belt. And the more they have him fail, it's just. That's the kind of crazy thing is here. It's like he's the one who should turn heel here. He's the one who's really at the end of his rope as a babyface character who needs a change.
Yeah, and it's wild that it hasn't happened yet. And it's wild that Jey Uso continues to be the one put in that
Yeah,
situation.
Jeyus. Yeah, I guess we can get into it now. I mean, it's just, everything associated, leading up to the main event. Just, yeah, I said, as you alluded to, Jey Uso just being an asshole. Like, this is not what
Yeah,
people want to see.
whole
Yeah.
episode just being an asshat. And
Being an asshole to
then
his brother, and then, yeah, just, no one wants to see this. No one wants, I'm just going to get the more that no one wants to see, but yeah, then we get to the match itself, and the quote unquote greatest tag team of all time got their asses kicked in a fair fight, basically, and needed Big Cousin Roman to save them.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got to admit, I did not end up watching Wrestlepalooza. So, did the Usos get their asses handed to them that night, or was it more of a dastardly heel
It was
victory
more
for?
they lost, and there was stuff with LA Knight being the referee that led to miscommunication and whatnot. Although
Oh,
not
yeah.
outright, LA Knight, attacking
Costing
anyone.
them, yeah.
Yeah, this was just the Usos just getting beat down, and they were gonna lose, and then Roman had to save them. Roman just interrupted a fair match.
Yeah, I mean, 'cause was it a street fight or something? There were some type of rules
Yeah,
there.
tornado rules. It's basically just
Oh.
another word for a hardcore match. Yeah.
Every match name essentially at this point is just a no DQ match that has any
Yeah.
type of adjective attached
The
to
only
it.
difference is when they specifically note a match's false count anywhere.
Oh, yes, that is a fair point.
Yeah. O otherwise, they have about a dozen different words for the same match. Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, and that A still the crowd very much behind Mr. Reigns.
Definitely.
B the Usos definitely getting their asses handed to them without
Yeah,
any
this was.
underhanded tactics
No. This
this
was a
time
fair
around.
match. Everyone agreed to the rules. They were just getting beat down. Yeah, then Roman shows up and, they helps them win. But then Roman and Jay embrace in the middle of the ring while Jimmy is off to the side. Unhappy because I guess he sees Jay turning into Roman and becoming a dick, and it's just once again it's that stuff I was talking about earlier. We're overthinking this stuff. We're over dramatizing things, making things a little more complicated than it needs to be. No one wants to see any of these three ever wrestle each other again. We've told those we've bled that we've bled those we bled that turnip dry.
Yeah, we've emptied that bloodline.
Yes, we've
One
emptied the
might
bloodline. Yes. Yeah. So it's just like,
say.
why do we have tension between these three now? Like no, this is no one wants this. Like,
Yeah, well, and I was
they sh
trying to get a hold of whether Roman was telling Jay to chill out or he was doing things the right way, and I didn't really get a vibe one way or the other
I
on it.
think he was just saying it's all about family, it's being just we gotta look out for ourselves, each other, and that's it. And again, Jimmy thinks that Jay's being an asshole and being selfish or whatever. And it's again, it's no, and I keep saying this, no one wants to see this. This is when they come together, people just want to see them kick ass. And
Yes,
yeah, we've
they
reached
have
that
just
point where
turned
they're all three our
into,
faces. Yeah, we just want that. We don't want this overcomplicated. We don't want tension. It's people don't want tension. It's just they want to see them together when they come together. And again, and they should only come. They probably come together a little too often. It should be probably more special occasions.
that is definitely a point of contention
But of
too.
course,
Like
we're heading into war
I.
games, so we kind of have to, do all this. But there's no need to have for them to have tension. There's no need for Jey Uso to be an asshole. He's the most popular guy in the company, at least amongst the younger audience, who's not gonna be like enthralled with this type of stuff. It's like they just want to yeet. Just give them what they want. Like, don't. Yeah, this is
Yeah,
why I
don't
was like,
pull a Vince McMahon and
yeah,
try to go against
right,
the
go against
crowd
the crowds,
reaction.
or again, just Triple H does seem to see wrestling at a higher level than it is. Like you don't have to go down to the dirt, lowbrow, but let's not try to pretend that we're doing an
We're working for
Emmy-nominated
it.
television show here. Like
Yeah, I was
it's
trying to remember.
people
I
are
was like,
fun.
which one's the TV version?
Yeah. It's like people don't like each other and they fight and they want to win championships. It's the simplest thing in the world. You don't need to overcomplicate it. It's been around for 100 years. It's been around. It's been around the longest TV television has been around. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
If you don't completely evolve it.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's the this isn't rocket science, guys. You might be overcomplicating things here
Yeah.
for its own sakes. Yeah, I don't know. It was there. I don't think there's really anything else on the show there, because yeah, that was the main event.
Yeah, that was the main event. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything. I don't think we really need to talk about, much about, AJ Styles and Dragon Lee versus the Americanos. That was whatever.
Yeah, other than those two gentlemen who wrestled under the masks, definitely not who I had stated previously. That was
Yeah.
not Pete Dunne or Tyler Bate under those
Well,
masks.
what? Well. Less likely Pete Dunne, because I've never seen Pete Dunne that white before, that pale
I've never
before.
seen him that jacked before either.
No. So yeah, I actually don't know who the Americanos are, but I'm also not sure I have a great caring for that either, for that answer either.
Same here. I am not even going to do internet sleuthing to figure that out.
Yeah, no,
I'll let the reveal happen, or
I mean, it
someone
was a
will
little
spoil
cute
it
at the
for me
beginning that you
eventually.
saw, Kaiser hanging around, Chad, American Alpha segment, American Made excuse segments with Chad Gable, and before Chad Gable went down with an injury, and then of course, yeah, that same night, he puts on the costume, but it's also like since but without Chad Gable, this thing has lost all its charm. At the same time. And now it's just an annoying thing that interrupts matches.
Yeah, like the Americanos thing ran out of steam once Dom won the AAA Mega Championship. I don't know. I don't know where it goes now, especially since those two seem to be disassociating from each other. Not in an acrimonious way, but it definitely is like, Dom's mostly trying to get help from Judgment Day instead of the Americanos. So yeah, it's kind of weird. Like I don't know who I'm supposed to care about there. Don't know why I'm supposed to care about that. So we've already probably said too much about that
Yeah.
situation than we need to. Oh man. Anything else I've news wise? I don't feel like there's even really any news to talk about before we punch on out of here.
No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Okie
Yeah,
dokie. Bell time beer for the night from the unfortunately defunct Sideswipe Brewing Sexy Weekend Locale IPA. I decided to keep it light and easy tonight, and it is a delicious beer, and I am kind of bummed that that will not be available. Certainly in that category of light and drinkable beer that I could drink over a long time span rather than other options out there on the market. So, yep, I will eventually go to Thunderwing Brewing and try out their stuff because they are the ones that ended up replacing Sideswipe. So, bell time beer of the show. That is for at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and download us at any other locations like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.